So thank you so much in indulging me, really Jesus, but in joining me just in celebrating that Jesus is alive. Sometimes we just need to shift the room and go past what we are feeling and still saying, no matter what is going on in our lives, Jesus, you still deserve the glory. We had a story of a TSM student came to TSM and she had been struggling for 40 years of depression. And she came only to TSM for one single reason. She said, I just want joy. That's the only reason that I come for every single week. I want joy. That's what I'm asking God for. To be honest, I don't care less about any of the outreach. Everyone else can do that. I don't care about the miracles. I don't care about this or that. I come in for one reason, joy. And then, after a couple of weeks, someone else in the room started encountering God's joy very, very loud. Very much laughing, very much getting a breakthrough, but she didn't get the breakthrough. And she made a decision immediately. Afterward, the meeting, she walked up to this lady and saying, I'm so thankful to God that you got your joy. And I'm celebrating you. That you got what I really wanted. But I'm going to celebrate you. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to really encourage her what God is doing in her life. So that was week one. Week two, there was another person that laughing. Again, it wasn't her. Week three, someone else. Every single week, she decided to walk up to that person and just encourage them and pray for them and celebrate what God was doing in their life. She really wanted the breakthrough. Everyone else in the room got it. She didn't get it until one day. Until one day, God hit her so hard that she then solidly laughed for 3 days. And then, after that, for the rest of the 9 months of the course, I think it was about 8 months, because she got it about a month in, she got joy. And I still remember in our little kitchen area, in our little room, she would be rolling on the floor with laughter. And God set her completely free from 40 years of depression. You know what? There is no better way than to start a healing meeting by saying, no matter if I've had my healing or not yet, Jesus is King anyway. And someone else might get healing in this room, and someone else have maybe already has the breakthrough that you want. This happens in the kingdom of God all the time. I promise you, if you create a culture where breakthrough happens, actual breakthrough, if you have a culture where you want to raise up leaders, world changers in your room, I promise you what God will do. He will give the breakthrough to the person next to you, just to see what you're going to do with it. Not because he's mean, because he wants to set up your life for success. Because he wants to introduce abundance to you in the fullness of what he's got for you. So when you are coming to a meeting like this, and the person up front says, let's go joy, and you're like, oh no, have you seen us people doing the conga? Oh no, I thought we left the 90s. Oh, 80s. I'm sorry. I was born in the 80s. And like, here we go again. Oh, do they call themselves Christians? Oh, what is wrong with them? Do they know what's going on in my life? And to be honest, God is nudging you, saying, Christianity is not always a serious business. It is celebrating the victory of Jesus Christ. That is not meaning that we deny the suffering in our lives and the pain that we are in. But sometimes we have to make a decision out of our comfort zone. Because a lot of times we found at TSM at King's Arms that physical obedience brings spiritual breakthrough. Physical obedience brings spiritual breakthrough. And sometimes, I said it this earlier today, I go up front in a meeting, I arrive 5 minutes late when I don't need a meeting, I've got my coat on, or sometimes I put my hoodie on, and then I'm in the back of the room, and I just feel all entitled at the back of the room, feeling really important. And then I think, you know what, I'm not engaging with Jesus at all. And I've got a decision. I can either walk out, sit in a coffee shop, have a cup of coffee, chat to someone I like, or I can go right up front in the meeting and say, Jesus, I'm not here for my feelings. I'm not here to feel connected. I'm here to feast on the grace of God and to say, Jesus, you're my King. Amen. Great. So we've had a couple of lovely breakthrough stories. I'm just telling you two or three stories from the last 2 weeks that I've heard. Not all happened in our environment, but I've heard from friends of mine or have happened in my environment. One friend of mine who leads a church, another church in Bedford, they've seen a lot of breakthrough in their church in the last 12 months. And so one lady with Parkinson's disease came up after the meeting to get prayed for. And as they were praying, she stopped shaking. And at the moment, she's not using a stick anymore. And her family has noticed that she's completely changed. And then several people with legs have been healed as well, where the doctors in that community, where the doctors have been baffled about what has happened to them. Amazing, isn't it? So another friend of mine who leads a church in North London, he has a teacher in the church, and the teacher was telling about one of her pupils that ended up having functional neurological disorder and ended up degrading more and more and ended up in hospital, could not go to school anymore, could not walk anymore, and then ended up in hospital, had been in hospital for 2 months. He felt God speaking to him. She's not Christian, this girl. Has nothing to do with the church, but her teacher is in the church. They asked parents, can we go to the hospital and visit and pray for her, because he felt prompted to go and pray for her. So they went to the hospital and prayed. This is what it says. That evening, she got discharged. On Monday, the after, she went back to school. The Wednesday after that, someone else that's not a Christian said about her that her brain must have been rewired. By the week after that, she was out of her wheelchair. And lately, a while after that, he got a video of her playing hockey. Completely and utterly healed. Amazing, isn't it? Another person I heard of in Worcester was, they prayed for a person who was in a wheelchair for 17 years with spinal cord injury, inflammation of the spinal cord, and she got completely cured. Completely. This is in the last 2 weeks that I've heard of in the United Kingdom. In the United Kingdom. You know what? I don't know if you're aware, but God is alive and He is on the move. And He is doing wonderful, wonderful things. So I'm going to read from Ephesians 1, because one of the things that I feel God speaking to me about in this season is about the authority that we have as a believer, every single person in this room. This is not superheroes that are praying for these people. These are normal Christians, just like you and I. Well, I'm not that normal, but just, I'm quirky. I'm just like Aaron. just normal Christians that are praying for other people. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about, especially in this season, is that every single person in every room that I am in realizes that they've got Christ in them, the hope of glory, and it is greater is He that is in them than he that is in the world. So there is an authority that God has given us through Christ winning back the keys of the kingdom on the cross, that we as a church have no clue about, that we actually have that living inside of us. So we discount ourselves, and the scriptures argue again and again and again that you are royalty seated in heavenly places, and that you've got way more power inside of you than you think. So we read in Ephesians 1. I'm getting excited, as you can see. There from verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ. And when He raised Him, from the dead, and seated him and His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, far above, all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name, that is named not only in this age, but also in the age that is to come. And he put all things, say all things, under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is a lot of words in there. But it's beautiful, isn't it? Here's the thing. It saddens me that the church is full of people that discount themselves from the works of God in them and through them. And we talked this morning a lot about the works of God in us. But we also want to talk tonight about the works through us that God wants to use us for, because we are ambassadors of His kingdom. And so many Christians have got enough faith to get saved, but have not got enough hope and faith for God to use us here today in this room and tomorrow and the day after when you go to work or college or university. And people still think, even although the scriptures of the Bible again and again say that faith is not based on merit, people still discount themselves because of lack of merit. Again, I see this. So many people I pray with that think that God doesn't want to use them because of their shame, because they're not clever enough, because they are not understanding enough, because they're not persuasive enough. But here's one of my favorite passages in the Bible in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, I did not come with persuasive words, not with clever speeches. I came with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And the good news is, every single person here, if you have given your life to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, the person of God, living inside of you, which ought to make us happy and powerful and give us the authority. Even in 1 Corinthians, Paul is explaining all the spiritual gifts, and I so many times have found Christians that make the list of spiritual gifts in this tick list so that they can discount themselves because they don't recognize themselves in the gifts that are on the list. But the whole point of Paul is not to be exclusive. It is to create a liberating theology of the gifts of God. And it's not the rewards of God, it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it is not about what you are so clever can do, or how well, how much breakthrough you have seen, or how good a Christian you are. It is about the gift of God, because He generously gives to every single person in this room. Amen? So, we are missing the point so often. God is a giver by nature. He does that all the time. He does it all the time. And it was never meant to communicate the scriptures exclusivity so that you could discount yourself, but liberation of God's beautiful gifts. This is what Romans 8 verse 17 says. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. In other words, you get to rule and reign just like Christ is ruling and reigning. And what is true of Jesus in that matter, it is true of you, that He's given you authority and you are royalty in ruling and reigning. See, this was the point with Adam and Eve from the beginning already, that God said, I'm going to make humans in my likeness, in my image. Now, my question is, what makes us in the image of God? It is not because you have two eyes and a wonderful haircut. It really isn't. So, theologians say a couple of things about this. I think all of them are true. First of all, that they say what makes us in the likeness of God is our cognitive abilities. So, our ability to choose and to think and to make decisions. Secondly, it is our emotional ability to create relationship, genuine, deep relationship with God and with people, with each other. And then the third thing I would say, and theologians would say, is that God has given us the authority to govern the earth. So here again in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, straight after He said, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Which I think is very good news, because I don't like creeping things, so I'm very happy that I've got authority over it. The first time I got introduced to this concept was actually a really funny story. I was still back in the Netherlands, and I had a friend of mine who was from Malaysia, I think, and he was living close to where I was living. And one day he said, "Oh, Marco, you need to know about the authority that you're carrying in Jesus Christ." And I was like, "What are you talking about? I have no clue what he's all about." You see, I had an ant plague in my kitchen. There was ants all over the place. And I said, "Oh, really? What did you do about that?" He said, "I send them off in the name of Jesus." And I laughing. He's like, "Oh, what a joke. He's like, "What are you laughing at?" By day two, they were gone. And I just loved it. You know, he's given us authority over things that we even never thought about. And I just thought that was really funny. So God gave humanity a mandate to govern the earth and everything in it. And then he blessed his people. See, as soon as Adam and Eve partnered with sin, the lie that they were buying was this, that they would be like God. But that's what the devil said. So if you eat from this tree, you'll be like God. What was the problem? They were already like God. They were already like God. And they gave that away to the enemy. The keys of authority gave them away. And obviously then God sends them out of the garden, which is actually an act of grace that he sent them out of the garden. Why is that an act of grace and not necessarily punishment? Because if they would have stayed in the garden, they would have stayed in the garden with the tree of life, which would give eternal life. And God would never have been able to solve it if Adam and Eve would have lived forever. So actually, he closed off eternal life for that temporary moment so that he could bring a solution. Grace. I love that. You can see grace all through the scriptures. That's nothing to do with tonight, but I thought I'd give that for free. So many people are still waiting, just like Adam and Eve, for an encounter, a vision, a lightning bolt from heaven that says that they suddenly got the authority, while actually the theological truth is that you already have it through Christ Jesus. I believe in impartation. I believe in fresh fire and baptism and encounter with God. But can I tell you, even if you don't get it, get on with it. Get on with the exploits of the kingdom of God, because a touch from heaven is amazing. And to be honest, I live for it and I minister that all the time. But really, you do not need it to get on with the kingdom of God. I love what I think it was Spurgeon said. He said, "It doesn't matter how people get down in the spirit. It matters how they get up." You can get down 100 times, but if you still go home doing the same thing and you're not transformed, what's the point of falling down? The point is how you get up and how you transformed. That's what we are really praying for. So then, hundreds of years later, in history, Israel constantly gets confronted with this truth that they have handed over the authority to the enemy. And they are really not in charge of their own ability to not sin or not sin, or to commit in obedience to God and to bless the nations around them, which was their original mandate of governing. So then Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus and John say this: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So now he's saying the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is right here, it's getting close. What does the kingdom of God mean? The Jews knew exactly what that meant. That meant authority and power and ruling and reigning of the Messiah in our age. They exactly knew what that meant. They thought they knew what that meant. They thought that the Messiah would come in an occupied nation and drive out the Romans. He would drive out the Romans. He would physically sit on a throne and bring liberation as a king and rule over every single area around them. But that's not what Jesus did at all, did he? He didn't come on a war horse. He came on the donkey of peace. And he introduced a very different kingdom, not a kingdom of military power, but of spiritual superiority. And that's exactly the keys that we have been given here. So when we're talking about governing, it doesn't mean that you have to be on the top of the pile all the time, and that you have to lead and rule everywhere that you are and be the top dog. What it means is that you've got a spiritual weight
in every room that you are in, to bring the kingdom of God, to bring peace, to bring joy, to bring the presence of God, to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring all those beautiful things, to bring salvation, because that is what you carry inside of you, the hope that changes everything. And I promise you, as the expectation rises in this community, which I believe that God is doing, that it is a matter of time that you work in your workplace and people will stop and stare at you and ask you what the heck is inside of you. I believe it, and we've seen it. We've seen it because people that are starting to get this are suddenly not overwhelmed by the darkness and all the negativity in their workplace, but darkness is overwhelmed by them. Because per definition, every room that you walk into, you're the majority. And so many of you, because you have Christ in you, so many of you have thought that when you walk in the room that you're overwhelmed by darkness because you're the only Christian in the room. But you're wrong. You might be the only Christian in the room, but you're not in the minority. You're in the majority because you have an internal atmosphere, an internal, ecosystem, thank you. Internal ecosystem. That is actually in charge of the room. Spiritually, yeah? You don't have to be physically in charge to be spiritually in charge. So I had a friend of mine who works actually in a company that makes military weapons. And obviously there are a lot of blokes that work in an environment like that. And she decided in her little office to change the atmosphere for about 40 people. So she wrote encouragement cards, really simple encouragement cards, just thanking them for their job and for what kind of colleagues they are, just individual ones, and then put them on the desks at the end of the day when they're all left, all around the room, and then quickly ran home because she was so scared about what the response would be. Next morning she comes in, she sits at her desk and starts working. Her boss calls her in the office and she's like, oh no, here we go, it's all going to go wrong. So she goes in the office, sits down, and he said, you know those cards that you sent me, that card that you sent me? He said, for 40 years, no one in this building, no one in this job has ever thanked me for my job. For 40 years, no one's ever thanked me. She changed the spiritual atmosphere immediately. She wasn't in charge. She didn't suddenly get a promotion or became the boss, although that has happened, and I believe God does do that. But she changed the spiritual atmosphere because she realized, I'm in charge spiritually. And I'm not going to be overwhelmed with the negativity in this office. Negativity is going to be overwhelmed with the Spirit of God inside of me. Are you starting to get this? I don't know if you are, but I'm just going to keep talking anyway. See, John 21:31 says that the devil is called the ruler of the world. And then Jesus rocked up and said, fake news. Fake news. On the cross, he straight away took back that authority and the keys. This is what it says in Matthew 28. It's just different words for fake news. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Here's what Jesus is saying. All the authority that you have lost, I have gained. Because the Father has given it back to me and has given it to me. Now, I give you the mandate to make disciples of all nations, because I'm empowering you to do that. So often I hear people pray such a either victim mentality of overwhelmed by the enemy, and they pray, and I'm like, you do not realize that you've got Jesus inside of you, and that you do not have to be afraid of the devil anymore, or the enemy, or the people around you anymore, because you've got something really powerful in you. See, the power of the enemy is still strong, but his authority is taken away. The only authority he has is when it's given. And it so often happens when partnering with fear, and partnering with not the authority of God, and so many of us have done that. But that's why we give authority to the enemy in our lives. And we can stop that by breaking the lies that he is speaking over us. And when we break those lies, I don't directly pray for deliverance for people, but so often when they've broken the lies of the enemy in their lives, and they've declared what God really says about them, whether that's an insecurity or whether that is a fear or something that happened in the past, then suddenly they get delivered. Because often demonic is attached to the lies and to hiddenness. And as soon as you break with that, it just has no place to stay. It has nothing to attach to. So, a couple of more scriptures here. 1 Peter 3, Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities and powers, having been subjected to him. Hebrews 2, yet for a little while they made him lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. And Colossians 2, verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, yes, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Amazing, isn't it? Again, Ephesians 1:21, which we read earlier. Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every single name that is named or uttered, he is higher than. His name is higher than every other name that is named. In other words, what Adam and Eve gave away, Jesus took back. We win. Good news. And now here's the reality. What is true of Jesus is true of you. And the Bible says that you're seated in heavenly places and that you are in Christ. You know that the Bible says 160 times in the New Testament that you are in Christ? What do you think it's trying to say? You're in Christ. You are in Christ. You are one with Christ. That is union with Christ. This beautiful reality and truth of our reality now is not our old reality that is fallen in sinners. Your title, your name is saint, seated in heavenly places. It is son, it is daughter, it is royalty. That is the truth of who you are right now. And so many people are still moping in this place and partnering with their alt nature that is no longer truth. And can I say, you have to walk this way and saying, this is now true of me, that I am a new creation. And when I look at the glory of God, it shines back to me and I'm being transformed from one degree of glory to another. So many of us shout amen to that, but they don't have the reality in their lives. And can I encourage you, from now till Christmas, be ruthless with the lies of the enemy that say that you're not in Christ, that say that you are insignificant, that you are worth nothing. All of those things were true before Christ, but they're not true in Christ. And that reality, if we get maybe one church in the UK that gets this, I tell you, the city of Durham will be changed. I promise you, the city of Durham will be changed. And the leaders here don't even have to tell you to do it, because it's an overflow of the truth that you are seated in heavenly places. Suddenly, atmospheres are changed. Workplaces are changed. Your children are suddenly getting free from anxiety and fear because you have the confidence that you are in Christ. I tell you, things happen miraculously once we start believing this truth. That we are in Christ and that we carry his authority. So he called the 12 disciples to him and he gave them authority of unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Jesus is mandating disciples. Last time I checked, as soon as you become a believer, you don't only become something, a truth teller, you become a follower. That's exactly what disciple means. It means you're a learner, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, come with me and I will make you into disciples of men, fishers of men. Yeah? So you are like that. That word, authority, is exousia, and that means the right to command. This is exactly why your words have power. You know that James, there's this beautiful pastoral letter, and in James it explains that your tongue, your words are really, really powerful. Why are your words so powerful? Because you're made in the image of God, and your words have the ability to command spiritual realities into real realities. Anyway, that didn't work well. Cut that out. I tell you, this genuinely happens. A friend of mine, He taught me about this, about these power of words when I started learning about this. And he said he got so annoyed by the dog next door that one day he said, "Curse you, dog." The next day the dog was dead. This is true. Sorry. I'm a dog lover too. This genuinely happens. You know what? Your words have extraordinary power. Extraordinary power. Sorry about that. I love dogs too. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. And Jesus said to them this, "Peace be with you," in John 20. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that's exactly what gives you the mandate to bring peace to everywhere around you. And to bring healing everywhere around you. So here's a couple of things. First of all, as I said, your words are powerful. James 3 says that your words have the power to bless and to curse. And words have creation power in them. With words, God created and sustains all things. Hebrews 1-3. So when he's given you the power, he's given you the words to create. So Jesus models this in how he deals with spirits and sickness. In Luke 4, they say, "For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Here's what Acts 3, here's how Peter models it with the person at the gate. Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." You know what? There is real power in the name of Jesus. Real power in the name of Jesus. You know how we finish our prayers? We say what we want and we declare what we want and then we say, "In the name of Jesus, amen." That is not just a convenient way to end your prayer. That is actually what gives your prayer power. By recognizing, not the actual phrase, not the actual words necessarily, but what it does is recognizing, where does the power that we've just prayed come from? It is the name of Jesus. So I'm very intentionally, every time I pray, I say a lot of times, "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus." Because it's not in the name of me. It's not in the name of my clever words. It is in the name of Christ in me, the power that comes out. Here's what the little word amen means. Have you ever looked that up? What the word amen means? This is what the Catechism says. I love it. Amen means it is true and certain, for God has more certainly heard what I've prayed than I feel in my heart that I want of this of him. I'll say that again. God has more certainly heard what I've asked of him than I in my heart desire that he wants me to, that I want him to hear it. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Okay, then, in terms of healing, my next tip, there is lots of things that I would say are tips, but here's another tip. Follow the instructions of James 5. And very interestingly, very few people in a charismatic church actually do this. Because we are going for healing, we believe in the power of the name of Jesus, but somehow we don't follow these instructions. And I'm not sure why. "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church." Call for the elders of the church. Actually, we believe in the priesthood of all believers, which is why I'm talking to you all the time and saying that everyone has got the authority of God. But still, somehow, when we honor anointing on people's life, there is something of a reward that we can participate in. "And let them pray over him, anointing them with oil." How many of us do that regularly? I don't know if you do it here. Oh, yeah, all this is good, well done. But actually, bonus points.
with that church, yeah. Actually, when in Eastern times, when they would anoint with oil, there would be like a whole lot of oil right over their heads. We just do a polite little cross on people's foreheads, you know. So today we're going to anoint you with oil if you are sick. Then it says like this, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We have a bit of oil here. Probably it's just a bit of olive oil. It's not from the Holy Land. It's just a bit of oil. I think so. It might be. Vegetable oil. Well done. I think only sunflower oil works. There's nothing special about it. But what it says here, we do it in the name of the Lord. And again, what did I say earlier today? Physical obedience brings spiritual breakthrough. That's the same thing with baptism. We just don't, it's not just a symbolic thing. Physical obedience brings spiritual breakthrough. There is something profound in us doing those physical things that so many of us in the charismatic church have lost in the sacraments and in the beauty of the physical elements, that when we honor that, so often God brings power with it. In the name of the Lord, and then the prayer of faith who will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We have again and again see the connection between unforgiveness and sickness. Not always. Jesus clearly models that it's not always the case, because you know that this lame beggar says that it must have been the sins of my parents. And Jesus says, no, this is so that the glory of God can be shown for you. So it's not always true, but we have seen, and you can see it right here, that sin and sickness are intrinsically linked, often. So often we talk about when we pray for someone and we don't see a breakthrough, then we ask, Holy Spirit, is there anyone that I need to forgive? So we had one story of a young man that I was praying for, and he had diabetes eye disease. So I never heard of it, but basically this didn't only have diabetes, but had diabetes eye disease. And he just got engaged. I think he was about 20, 21. And the doctors had told him because of this condition, he would be blind between six months and 2 years. So he came to me absolutely distraught, crying and crying. He's saying, I will only be able to see my fiancée for a maximum of 2 years. And after that, I will never be able to see her again. So actually, we didn't end up praying about healing that much. So what came up, I was like, okay, let's see what the Father will do. Let's just pray for a while. And the whole time that I prayed with him, we prayed about his bitterness against his parents. Because of the parents had done something and that wasn't good. But then I helped him through grieving that in that moment and then forgiving his parents. And there was a real release in his connection with God. And then the last like 30 seconds before we had to leave, I say, and I pray for healing in the name of Jesus. Actually having no faith for it at all myself. I was very happy that we could do the emotional things because I was really confident in that. And then I was praying for the diabetes eye disease, and then I was like, forgot about all of it. 2 months later, I saw him and he ran up to me and he said, Marco, you wouldn't believe it. And he had two doctor's reports. One of them, the doctor's report said diabetes eye disease and had this graph on it. And then the other one said, there is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. It's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely. He actually, interestingly enough, he still had diabetes, but just not the diabetes eye disease anymore. And he was completely healed. It was connected, I think, to his unforgiveness. And as soon as he dealt with that bitter root, then God was able to heal right there. And I think even as we are talking tonight, for some of us, we have realized that this is true for me. And in a moment, as we're going to pray, I want to encourage you, as we are praying for healing, that you will do that process as well. And we happily will help you with that. Okay, so I think we're almost there.
And then I would lastly say, and then I'm going to read a story and then we're going to pray. Lastly, would say, don't box God in and just apply the authority of Jesus' name just to healing. Because there is the name of Jesus works in so many different ways. He is holistically bringing it to the world around us. So the power of the name of Jesus, we have for salvation in Romans 10. Sickness to bring healing, we've talked about. Deliverance, attack from the enemy, freedom from sin, over creation, over your own body, because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, over life and death curses, over the course of your life, James 3, for safety, for discipling, baptizing, and teaching, and Ephesians 1, verse 21, as we read, over every single thing. For me, I've seen in my own life family restoration because of this stuff. I decided to shift the atmosphere of my family, and I did it with the help of the Holy Spirit, and things massively shifted in my family. And then we've seen it in healing and in deliverance, but also in workplace, like I've explained. And the question is for you after this conference, for next week, when you go back to your normal places in your life, what is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? Very simple. That's your mandate for the next season. What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? Is it taking a risk with your colleague? Or is it maybe with your children and having expectation for raising them up for the next generation of world changers? Or is it something else? It doesn't matter. Is it for a neighborhood project? Is it for a ministry here in the church? Whatever it is, what is God saying to you and what you're going to do about it? How are you going to partner with Him? So, here's a story. Here's the context of this is I was reading a book around the power of the name of Jesus. And this pastor that writes the book, he describes that he was visiting a church. And he was visiting a church and he said it was the most difficult church that he ever preached in. And when he was preaching there, the atmosphere was tough and nothing much breakthrough happened. And he didn't say much about it. He just left and he went to another, he went on with his life. About a couple of months later, he saw the pastor of this church again. And he just asked a couple of questions and saying, how is the atmosphere in the church? How are you getting on? And then his pastor said to the other man, he said, you wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't tell anyone else. But of all the churches I have pastored, this has been the most difficult pulpit to preach from that I've ever had. And I didn't understand why at all. The church was welcoming to me. We had lots of great times in people's homes. But any time we would get here on a Sunday and preach actually in this physical building, there would be just a terrible atmosphere. And he said, I decided to fast and pray for getting breakthrough. And then one day, I'm just seeing where I'm going to read from. I began to fast and pray about it. He says, the seventh day of my fast, I was kneeling on the platform about 3 feet behind the pulpit. When I happened to look up directly over the pulpit and the ceiling disappeared and the discerning of spirits had come into manifestation and God allowed him to see in the spirit realm and he saw sitting up in the rafters directly above the pulpit a huge spirit. Oh, I've lost it. Cliffhanger. We'll get there. Yeah. It looked like a big baboon. That was a cliffhanger. It was great, isn't it? It was as large as a man. And the pastor said, I found myself saying to him, you're going to have to calm down from there. And he said nothing. But he seemed to draw up as if he didn't want to obey. I said to him, you come down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately he fell down onto the pulpit, then jumped to the floor. And I said, you get out of here. He said nothing, but just looked at me as if to say, I don't want to. I said, just march right out of here in the name of Jesus. He marched down off the platform. I marched right behind him. He would go 4 or 5 steps, then stop and look at me, almost begging. I would say, no, go on, but he wouldn't move until I said, in the name of Jesus. We went down the aisle that way, stopping every 4 or 5 steps. I went ahead of him and held the vestibule doors open. The Spirit, this is in brackets, the Spirit could have gone through the doors, of course, but this is what the pastor did. So funny. That thing would not go through until I said, in the name of Jesus. Then I opened the front door. I stepped back and said, move on out. And he just stood there. He never said a word. But I could tell by his expression on his face, he was begging me. Don't, I said, in the name of Jesus. And he moved. He went down the church steps and got halfway out into the yard. Then he stopped, turned around, looked at me. I said, no, you don't. You go in the name of Jesus. He went as far as the curb. I said, you'll have to go on and don't ever come back on these premises again. He stood there until I said, in the name of Jesus. Then he ran across the street and down the other side, about a quarter of a mile. I watched him run into the nightclub called the Green Hut. The next night, it burned down. Sounds like a funny story, but you know what? The spiritual realms are very real. And here's the good news. You're in charge of it. You're in charge of it. Okay, so what we're going to do next. Till what time should we do this meeting? What is what? Till people walk out, basically. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pray. Because I'm not so much interested in just words, but I've really believed that as I've been talking, as we've been worshipping, things have been shifting in this room. Things have been shifting in this room. And we're just going to take a couple of minutes to invite God and to move into this room. And we are expecting that the Holy Spirit is going to do things tonight. So I'm going to ask my team to come up and bring some words of knowledge. Here's the thing about the word of knowledge. If the word of knowledge is basically God telling us what he wants to do in this room, and when he tells us what he wants to do, it also comes with a gift of faith. And that gift of faith, when you respond to that and say, that's me, then I believe that God wants to move into your body, into your life as well. So I want to encourage you, as you hear my friends saying, don't be hesitant to say, that's me. And maybe just wave at me when you're responding. Okay, team, go for it.
So I had about lung pain, so it's difficult to breathe, so heavy breathing, and mainly down to pain in the lung.
Is it a man or a woman?
It'll be a man.
Who is that? Lung pain? Can you just wave at me? Struggling to breathe? He might be wrong with the man or woman thing. Often we don't always hear right, but I wanted to check if there's a man here struggling with lungs. Anything with breathing, short of breath. Just wave at me. Okay, that's fine. We'll go with that. That's okay. Keep going.
And I also have muscle pain in the lower neck, potentially from a car accident. But it's still, we can still pray for you.
Is there anyone, is there anyone with a car accident? Anyone pain in the neck from car accident? Potentially. Okay, keep going.
Okay. Upper back pain, and so this was, I'm going to go the extra 10%. I thought originally this could well still be someone called Gemma with upper back pain.
Well done, good for taking a risk, well done. Is your name Gemma? Okay. Is there a Gemma in the room at all? Okay, cool. You're not right.
That's all right. And I'm fine with that. And also elbow pain.
Anyone with elbow pain?
Anyone with elbow pain.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Right. Let's move on.
Yep. Is there a man in here that's got haemophilia or blood issues, like issues with like your blood clotting? Is there anyone? No? Okay. And the other one that I had was plantar fasciitis, which is like an issue with your foot, and I think it's in one foot only. But, yeah, okay, two people.
Right.
Great.
Good. Well done.
I felt God speaking about someone who's got upper leg pain, and the extra 10% would be your name is Chris. Someone with Chris in here with upper leg pain? Is there someone with upper leg pain? Anyone with upper leg pain? And then I felt God speak to me about...
Oh, wait, just 1 second. I also had a man with a left leg pain. Is there anyone here, a man, and you are struggling with your left leg? Maybe a swollen leg or something like that? Just wave at me if you're like that. No one? Okay. Sure? Go, keep going.
And then I had someone who'd got a problem with their left shoulder. Has anyone got an issue with their left shoulder?
Okay.
Great. Pray for you as well.
Good. Amanda? Can we have the keys player? Will that be okay?
So, yeah, I felt right sort of shoulder here. And also, I felt what you had about the, I can't say it, plantar, no, yes, so I have that, so, yeah. And chronic headaches. Anyone having chronic headaches? No? Okay. And someone that's finding it hard to sleep.
Insomnia.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Right, so this morning I said something about ALS. I think that's actually, someone told me it's the American language for it. What's it called? Is there anyone here with motor neuron disease? Okay. Fine. Does anyone know anyone with that? Okay. Can you stand on behalf of them? Like in a moment when we pray? Because it's just stuck in my head, so I just would love to pray for that. Okay, so, and then anyone else who's got an incurable disease that the medical doctors say that there is no breakthrough apart from a miracle. Okay. Everyone that has responded, would you mind standing right now? Okay. So, you know that this whole message was about that everyone here has got the authority to do this stuff. So, we also will pray. But the idea is that we are going to do this as a church. Okay? So what I would love to do, here's the instructions. You can start playing just softly if that's okay. Here's the instructions that everyone that is standing, just put a hand in the air and then put your hand down when someone else is next to you. So everyone else, just stand with someone that has got a hand up in the air. And you can put your hand down as soon. Don't start praying yet. Just want to get everyone around someone. And then put your hand down when someone is next to you. Praying. Okay. Good. There's a couple more hands. Just move around. Well done. We just won't start till... Is there someone with you? Okay, then you can put your hand down if someone's with you. Okay, anyone else that has not got someone with them yet, just wave at me. Okay, that's very good. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We just quickly ask them what the problem is, what the issue is in a moment. Just ask them. And then what you're going to do is, we're going to exousia. Yeah, we've got to command the pain to go. So, there's nothing wrong with asking God to take away pain. That's perfectly valid. But today, what we're going to do is we're going to command the pain to go. Because you're Christ in you, and you have the authority to bring healing to other people. So what you're going to do is you're going to command that sickness, that problem to go, and release heaven's life and healing into them. Okay, that's what we're going to do. So quickly ask them what the problem is, and then go ahead and do that.